How's that? It's good to see Diane back. And God bless you, and we'll continue to pray for you. A bit loud, I think. Ringing in someone's ears. And it's also good to see... who am I thinking about? Murray and Tina, back from the States. Welcome back, guys. In your Bibles, if you would turn to James chapter 1, and we are following through the book of James from a thematic point of view. So James chapter 1, and we're going to read from verse 19. While you're looking that up, just a quick shed update. For those of you from last week that are interested now in the shed across the road from us, some of you have been driving past saying, oh, I took notice of the shed, and watching what's happening. So, relatively speaking, they had a great week. They put up about six battens. I think they put a couple of top hats on, and they've started to clad the walls. So, I guess that when they're finished, I can report that they're finished, and there'll be an ironic cheer from this particular crowd as you follow with much interest the progress of the shed across the road from us. We should be more gracious than that, shouldn't we? We can do better than that. Well, that's right. That's what I said to my wife. I said, well, a good Christian man would walk across the road and offer to help, wouldn't he? Do you know anyone like that? In my defence, I did offer to help him with the concrete. I said, nah, thanks, but no thanks. We've heard about your concreting skills. I came, I saw, I concreted. All right. James chapter 1, verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Father, again, help us to understand this word for the practicality of our life, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here for the first time for a few weeks, or if you're visiting with us, we are journeying through the book of James. And I just want to say to you by way of introduction that the book of James is a series of approximately 60 short, terse directives. And James is a man who would be exasperated by false piety. James is all about being grounded in the Word of God, being doers of the Word, so that we hear the Word, and first of all, we hear and we believe, but the journey is more than just hearing and believing. We believe the Word of God, we have belief, we have our notions in mind and heart about what the Bible says, we have our ducks in a row about theology and biblical truth, but it's so much more than that. It's more than just belief of the Word of God, it is actually faith in the Word, the written Word, and also the Word incarnate. And this is what James would say to us. James would say it's more than just listening and believing. It is about having faith in the Word, and if we have faith in the Word, the written Word and the living Word, that is Jesus, then we will be doers of the Word. That is his emphasis. And so 60 times through the book of James, there are these very short, clear directives to us. And when you've got a spare moment, count them if you want to. About 60. And so this morning, here are two very clear directives for us. So the concrete application of the Word of God for us this morning comes in two directives. The first is this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. Now, I have a feeling that you've got this nailed, and you don't need me to tell you this. I'm sure everyone is the epitome of listening well and speaking slowly, right? Slow to speak, listening well. Am I in the right room? Are you listening? And you're probably thinking, it's all very well for you. You get to speak. We've got to listen to you. What's that all about? Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. The ear is an amazing piece of equipment, isn't it? The ear is made up in three parts. You've got the outer ear, which is the pinna, I think it's called. Is that right? You're not sure? Nurses, yes, it's the pinna. And it's like a little antenna. And it picks up sound vibrations. A little audio receptor. In Prince Charles's case, it's like satellite dishes. But, you know, it had to be said. So you have the outer ear. Sorry to all of those of you who are royals, but just had to say it. You have the outer ear, and amazingly, it picks up sound vibrations. And then those sound vibrations travel through the ear canal to the eardrum. And at the eardrum, they are focused and amplified, and then they are sent to the cochlea right in the inner ear. And when those sound vibrations reach the cochlea, they are then changed, I suppose, into electrical signals that then go to the brain so that you can determine what you've heard. Isn't that amazing? When you think about it, the gift of hearing is such a blessing, and it's such a profound loss then when people cannot hear, either fully or partially. And I think James would say to us this morning that we hear, but we don't hear. We listen, but we don't hear. We are suffering from a hearing loss, metaphorically speaking. Over the years, as a pastor, I've worked with many people in the people helping profession. I've worked with psychiatrists. I've worked with psychologists. I've worked with counsellors. I've worked with chaplains. There are many different schools of thought about psychotherapy. In fact, in the States, there are something like more than 200 different schools of thinking about how psychotherapy happens. And some of us would say, where is all this leading us? We still are not listened to and we still do not hear. And I can tell you that the psychotherapist or the counsellor or the chaplain that is effective is the person who is warm, who is engaging, who is sensitive. It's the person who listens. And you know, this is the challenge. You and I can be that person for someone else. You and I can be that person for someone who needs to be heard. That's the challenge. The problem is this. We listen with our ears, we don't listen with our heart. When we only listen with our ears, half of our mind is engaged in what someone is saying, and the other half of our mind is thinking about what we're going to say when we get the opportunity, when we get the chance to tell people how good we are, when they pause to inhale. And so half of our mind is engaged in listening, but the other half of our mind is thinking about ourselves and what we're going to say about ourselves. In other words, we're not really listening. We don't really listen, many of us. We're like the married couple, Tom and Mary. And Tom and Mary boasted that they would never ever need marriage counselling because they had a fantastic relationship. And the reason was this, that Tom did a degree in communication and Mary did a degree in acting. So Tom was a very, very good communicator and Mary was very, very good at pretending that she was listening. And there's a few of you laughing and there's a few of you who aren't laughing because it's very close to the bone for some of you. And James says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. If we listen only with our ears and not our heart, we will be too quick to speak. If we listen with our heart, we will actually be slow to speak. Are you a good listener this morning? Are you a good listener? You know, my experience is this, that people in our world are burdened with the stress and the pressure of life. As life compresses, as pressure grows and stress increases, there are people in our world who just want to be heard. They just want to be heard. I had this experience yesterday, standing at a sink, making a cup of coffee, and asked someone who was standing next to me how their week went, and they said to me, I had the week from hell. Now, you would think that for someone who's at least partially intuitive, that would have been an invitation to unpack with that person what that meant for them. What did I do? I went on making my cup of coffee. And somehow, in some way, the whole thing was just crowded out because there's a whole bunch of people around and I didn't get the opportunity to revisit it with the person. But I want to tell you that that person needed to be heard. You see, over the years, I've had people say to me, what's the point in listening to people? Because I can't do anything about their problems in any case. You know, there was a time when I was a young, naive pastor and I thought that all the burdens of the world could be dropped and all the problems of the world could be solved. I thought that I could help everyone with their anxiety, with their problem and with their burden. Now that I'm an older, still naive pastor, I recognize this, and this is perhaps a point of wisdom for us, that many of the burdens that people face cannot be dropped. Many of the anxieties that people have, they will live with for the rest of their life, unless there's a miraculous intervention. They know that, right? And here is the point. They know that. They simply want to be heard. And if you are listening half with the mind engaged with the person and half with your response in mind, guess what? Your facial expression tells the other person that you don't care. And what you do is you push them further into their place of isolation. James says something very, very practical and life-giving to us this morning. He says, everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. And here's the reality. In 6 months' time, you might need someone to listen to you like you've never had before. I've experienced this. I've experienced the need for someone just to listen, not solve my problem. And men, can I say to you this morning, when your wife tells you something, which is an expression of a burden that she's feeling or an anxiety that she wants to share, she is not looking for you to give her a 3-point solution. Okay? Between you and me and the gatepost, that does not help. She is looking for you to listen to her. She may well know that there is no solution to it. She just wants to be heard. That may well enrich your marriage, men. You're welcome. There may be a time in your life where you need to be heard like nothing ever before. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak. Listen with the heart, not just the ear. You know, the Apostle Peter said, cast all your cares on him. Who's him? God. And he's right. We can cast all of our cares on him. But we will lend credibility and substance to that if people think that they can actually cast their care on us. And they will only ever know that if we listen. Listen. The second thing James says is, be slow to become angry. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. A little girl went to her father once and said, "Dad, what is the difference between annoyance and anger?" And the father said wisely, "It's just a matter of degrees. Let me demonstrate for you." So he went, picked up the phone and just dialed a random number. And as the person answered on the other end of the line, he said, "Hello, is Melvin there?" And the man was slightly annoyed. He said, "No, Melvin is not here. And look, you should actually check your numbers before you dial the phone, all right?" Bang. Father went back to the daughter and said, "Honey, that was annoyance. We annoyed that man. He was probably in the middle of dinner and we annoyed him. Watch this." And picked up the phone again. Dialed the same number. "Hello, is Melvin there?" "Listen, mate, you've got a nerve ringing me again. It was only a minute ago that you rang me. I told you Melvin doesn't live here." Slam. And father went back to the daughter and said, "That's anger. That's an illustration of anger." And then he said, "Watch this." Picked up the phone again. Anger turned to rage. He picked up the phone and he heard this violent man on the other line. "What now?" And he just said, "It's Melvin here. Have there been any phone calls for me?" Slam. Don't try that at home. And don't let that be a teaching lesson for your children about the difference between annoyance and anger. There's another way that you can teach them that. Everyone should be slow to anger. I want you to notice this. James does not say that we should never become angry. There is such a thing as a righteous, godly anger. I would go so far as to say that someone who doesn't get angry, who doesn't become angry when they should become angry, there is some deficiency there. There is something wrong. They're not wired right. There's something missing. So James is not saying don't become angry. James wants us to know that in our fallen human state, our anger can get out of control. Jesus was angry. Right? Jesus became angry a number of times. And the problem that you and I have with our anger is that we don't become angry when we should, and when we shouldn't be angry, we become very angry. And that's our fallen nature. We will kill a mosquito with a cannon. And we are sometimes unmoved by injustice, but the slightest inference or the slightest slight that we experience as a person, and we fly off the handle. And James would say to us, be slow to anger. But he wouldn't say, don't become angry at all. And you and I need to be angry. We need to be angry over injustice. We need to be angry when innocent people are abused and manipulated. But he would say to us, don't just react to people. Don't just shout out contemptuously when you're offended. Don't be someone who will vent your anger and just explode all over someone. Be slow to anger. And then he says this. This is fascinating. Because the anger, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. And what he's saying is this. Righteousness has two meanings. First of all, it means right standing with God. It means that in and through the cross of Jesus, you and I have been restored to a relationship with God. We have been righted with Him. That's what righteousness means in its purest sense. We are now seen as righteous through the work of the cross that we remember this morning. The second dimension to righteousness is right living. So when James says this, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. In what sense does he mean righteous? He means it in both. He means that when we just explode in anger, we are actually, as Christians, bearing witness and not a good witness. The opposite, perhaps understanding that this is to look at it oppositely. Oppositely? Is there such a word as oppositely? Look at it in the opposite sense. When we are slow to anger, we are actually exemplifying righteousness in both senses. When we are slow to anger, we are mirroring to this world the reality that God is merciful, that God is patient, that God is slow to anger, that God is long-suffering. And we are actually a demonstration to this world of the righteousness of God and what He has done to redeem humanity to Himself. And in the second sense, when we are slow to anger, we are doers of the word in the sense that we are living righteously. Slow to anger. I've got to confess to you that sometimes I'm not slow to anger. That I can be quite aggressive in my natural state. In my humanity, I can be quite angry. And there's times where I have vented my anger. And I could sit down with you, I won't share this from the front, but I could sit down with you and probably unpack four or five significant relationships in my life that I've probably shipwrecked because of my anger. And perhaps in your honest moments, you could say the same. You could say, yeah, I could look back and see that I would do and say things differently because I just let my anger ruin this relationship. And James would say to us this morning, be slow to anger. Think about your anger. What should you be angry over? You see, we should be angry over this guy in Toowoomba who is trying to torpedo chaplaincy. There should be something in us that rises up in a righteous anger and says, that is not right. That cannot happen. But we should not be angry over the slightest offence or inference to who we are, what we've done, or our personality. And sometimes we just get that the wrong way around. And we don't get angry over what we should get angry over, and we get very angry over something that is just like a four-year-old throwing a tantrum. Right? We're like that. So James says two things to us, two challenges. The first is this, be quick to listen and slow to speak. This week, the challenge for you and for me is to listen attentively. To be slow to speak, quick to listen. Listen with the heart and be slow to become angry. And in that, we will demonstrate the righteousness of God. We will mirror to this world that our God is a loving, gracious, long-suffering God, and we will be people who live righteously. Let's pray. Father, this morning, thank you that your word is clear and direct. Thank you that your word has application for our life today. And my prayer is that we would be the person, the people, who have listening ears, who listen not just with the physical capacity of listening, but listen with the heart. That we would listen to our wife, our husband. That we would listen to our children. That we would listen to people who we might just come across in the everyday mix of life, who just need to be listened to. And that we would be slow to become angry. And for that, I pray that you would just fill us afresh with your Spirit this morning. That we would realize that we can't do this in our own strength, but with the empowerment of the Spirit and walking daily in the power of the Spirit, we can do this. And help us, Lord, to rise up with anger when that is appropriate and where it's needed. Because too often we just seem to be a passive people who let things pass by without even a whimper of protest. And I believe that you would want us to be angry over things that we see that are things of injustice and where there's unfairness, where there's wrong in this world, where there's unrighteousness. You would want us to become righteously angry about those things. So help us to see the difference between what is righteous anger and what is unrighteous, and to be righteously angry when we should, but to not get angry quickly. And we want to commit ourselves to you for this, in Jesus' name. Amen.